Welcome to Move Wild Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Clapson. The aim of this podcast is to explore, learn, and spread the message of rewilding and natural movement so that we as humans can live in more alignment with our nature and reclaim what it means to be fully alive. The modern world has stripped away so much that used to nourish our mind, body, and soul. This podcast will help illuminate how we can reclaim and restore our innate, wild, capable, and strong spirit. Thanks for joining me on this journey. Hey guys, and welcome back to another Friday episode of Move Wild Podcast. I hope you have all had an amazing week and are ready to jump back into another great episode that I've got lined up for you all today. So this is, again, sharing with you a live that I ran in my Facebook test group for a new online course that I'm launching based around ground movement and building the foundational strength required to progress in all areas of capability and fitness and natural movement, which is really exciting. I'm going to be launching that soon. I'll let you guys know when that comes out, but this is just a little live that I ran in that group sharing on kind of the timeline of adaptation and better understanding mobility and kind of fixing some of these problems that a lot of people have, especially around mobility, and really putting back into perspective what that real timeline of adaptation is and how we can progress in terms of mobility and strength and all these other areas of our fitness. So I hope you guys enjoy this one. Let's jump into it and catch me on the other side for how you can connect with me. All right, hey guys, and welcome to today's live. So today I wanted to touch on a little bit of mobility stuff, tightness, fascia, and kind of, the practicalities and a little bit of my thoughts around mobility and kind of giving you guys a timeline, I guess, to understand and work with in terms of improving mobility and improving stability and range of motion in different areas. So mobility, broadly defined, is just the range of motion of different parts of your body or different in different movements. So for example, squatting is an area or a movement that a lot of people have trouble with when it comes to mobility and working with mobility. Kneeling, lots of different ground sitting positions are ones that a lot of people have trouble with when it comes to mobility. And that is due to, so this is the timeline element of what I wanted to give you guys here today, that is due to a thing called connective tissue adaptation and versus muscle adaptation, and the timeline that those two things take is very, very different. So you'll notice that if you're doing strength training as an example, and you're trying to put on muscle mass, not that I necessarily recommend that as a primary motivator unless you're underweight for your training, you will notice that muscle mass growth and muscle adaptation to specific movements, and even when we talk about it from a capability standpoint, muscle adaptation to a movement happens quite quickly comparatively to the adaptation of connective tissue and fascia and all these other things that come into the piece of mobility, which is why in many cases for many people mobility is a lot harder to develop, or there's many more barriers to work through than simply building strength. Now, the reason that mobility is so important is because you can't have strength in ranges of motion that you are not mobile and not able to move through. So I can't have strength in a deep squat if my deep squat mobility is bad. So you then, in that case, in that scenario, I don't have mobility or strength. So mobility is a prerequisite for strength. If I don't have the mobility to press my arms above my head, then I can't have strength in that range of motion. It's pretty simple and a pretty easy concept to understand. So focusing on mobility is going to be a prerequisite to developing capability, right? If we don't have mobility, then it doesn't, you don't have a path to develop capability. So you need to focus on mobility as a prerequisite. Mobility is what's focused on in a natural development sequence of babies as they grow up, but it's not necessarily something that has been allowed for in modern society. And there's a lot of restrictions on mobility, or a lot of things, causative factors that mean that our mobility is compromised in this world and in the environment that we move through. So when we're talking about mobility and developing mobility, obviously it's good to look at it from a broad perspective. Why do we have the range of motion that we have? The body is an extremely adaptable, that's the key word, organism, and it adapts to imposed demands and specific imposed demands. So many of you may have heard of the said principle, specific adaptation to imposed demand, which essentially means and says that your body will adapt to the environment it is in, and it will adapt to the imposed demand that you put or place upon it. So if the imposed demand is that you sit at a chair for 8 hours a day, or you sit in, a position where your knees are bent at 90 degrees and your hips are bent at 90 degrees, it will adapt to that, and your connective tissue will lengthen and or shorten according to that range of motion and mobility. Your strength will lengthen and or shorten or adapt to that range of motion as well. So you might have solid strength in getting up and down out of a chair, but you have no strength in getting up and down out of a deep squat. Or you have no strength in moving around on the ground, or you have no, range of motion or mobility in those areas. So specific adaptation to imposed demand is really important to understand, because your body right now and its level of mobility is exactly where it needs to be according to the environment that you have been moving through. So never think that your body isn't smart, or that it's not, you can't, like, your body is far smarter often than your conscious mind and or what you perceive it is capable of. And your body is literally designed to move through and adapt to complex environments, and the modern world that we live in, and this environment, is no different. If the environment dictates that we move in a certain way, our connective tissue, our muscle tissue, our neurological patterns of movement, and our the way that we move, and the way that we think, the way that we interact with others, it's a broad emotional, social level as well. That is all going to be adapted to specifically and perfectly fitted to the environment that you're in. So you cannot separate the environment from your level of conditioning and fitness, and you cannot separate the environment from your range of motion and mobility. You cannot separate the environment from your level of strength. You cannot separate the environment from your adeptness at communicating, or your adeptness at empathy and relating to people on an emotional and social level. The environment dictates and shapes the way that our body is designed, and the way that it moves, and the way that we think, and the way that we act, and all these different things. So understanding that is going to be key, because that gives you a history of why your body has the mobility that it has. So if you find being in the deep squat, as an example, and we'll use that as an example throughout this live, a challenging position to be in, then you need to look at the history of what has set your body up to not really be adapted to that position. And that might just be that you haven't practiced that position, and that might also be that you practice other positions that aren't necessarily complementary to having strength or mobility or range of motion in the deep squat, such as sitting at a desk. So, how do we counteract that? First we understand the timeline and we get our expectations straight. So muscle adaptation happens a lot faster than connective tissue adaptation. That's also very dependent on lifestyle factors, which I'll go into in a little bit, specifically talking about fascia. You guys can follow me on any of my other channels, or any other kind of like through Instagram, for more of my thoughts on, I guess, health. And I also offer health coaching and more of a broader perspective on lifestyle practices coming from an ancestral lens, where I talk about more of those things. And I'm going to be focusing specifically on movement. But there's a whole host of lifestyle factors that allow for that timeline of adaptation to be smaller or greater. If you have terrible lifestyle factors, then that timeline of connective tissue adaptation is going to last a lot longer, or it won't actually fully adapt. For example, if you're not getting adequate collagen cofactors in your diet that allow for you to build that connective tissue, then you're not going to adapt fully, or you're going to have injuries, or you're never going to experience the freedom in that range of motion. There's a whole host of lifestyle factors that go into that and allow for that adaptation. But setting up your expectations straight is a big one. A timeline that most people give, based on research, is that it takes about 90 days for connective tissue to adapt to a range of motion. If you put it in that range of motion and you run through that those movements on a daily basis, as I said, that is very, very dependent on your lifestyle. If you are doing everything right, it can take a lot shorter. And I believe that that's an inaccurate kind of assessment. But if you're doing everything wrong, then it can take a lot longer or never happen at all fully. So understanding that and putting in the work and the time, and understanding that if you do, you know, like if you're practicing and wanting to get better at your deep squat, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen over days and days and days and days and months and months and months and years. And, you know, a lot of you may have heard me talk about this before you got in this test group, or, you know, during this test group. These, you know, ground movement fundamentals and these patterns that I'm showing all of you guys, these are still things that I practice on a daily basis and can't really live without when it comes to my own physical practice, because I know that they're the foundation of all other capabilities and all other movements. And I know that my body, you know, needs to constantly have them as inputs in order to stay adaptable, movable, mobile, and maintain a solid range of motion and strength in that range of motion. If you're wanting, you know, and then when you look at it from a strength perspective, once you develop that mobility, you have a lot more room. A lot more room is opened up to you to develop strength, and strength comes a lot quicker. So the adaptation process for strength is a lot shorter of a timeline. If, again, it, lifestyle factors play a massive role in that. If you're not, you know, if you're doing strength training but you're not eating adequate protein or you're not getting enough sleep, it doesn't really matter how much you train, as an example. So lifestyle factors do play a massive role in that, but you know, strength gains are going to be a lot quicker than mobility gains. So when you've put in the work to develop better mobility, then there's this whole kind of world opened up to you in terms of the range of motion in which you can develop strength in, and that will often come a lot quicker. So once you have the mobility to do a deep squat, it's going to be a lot easier for you to, for example, build strength in moving between standing and deep squatting and that range of motion. It's going to be a lot shorter of a timeline to build strength in that than it was to actually just feel comfortable in a deep squat. So that's kind of what I wanted to touch on today. And then on the movement side of lifestyle, or I guess something to consider when it comes to mobility, is fascia. So fascia is... our fascia is a tissue that wraps around all the muscles in our body and interweaves and interlocks and even runs across our organs and our heart, and it's this kind of web of interconnected tissue that allows all the different parts of our body to communicate and all the different muscles to fire individually. It, you know, it helps to signal the firing of different muscles, and it allows for that communication to happen throughout our body so that there's fluidity and movement. So you can understand that fascia would also adapt to the movement patterns that you've been doing on the long term, and therefore cement in potentially negative movement patterns due to the fact that it is it interacts with our neural processes that allow for movement. And if we are used to certain patterns, then the fascia is going to become accustomed to those patterns and want to move your body in those ways. So that can be something from as simple as walking and having a bad walking gait, which then leads to poor foot, ankle, knee, hip, spine, shoulder health. Or, you know, or it can lead to, you know, postural issues and all sorts of stuff. So, again, fascia is one of those things that is adapts slowly and adapts with intentional practices around movement, and it's not something that can be forced. So, you know, a classic example is like when somebody says, you know, change your posture or fix your posture, someone will like stand up straight and force their fascia into a quote unquote better position. But over time, the fascia is just going to pull itself back into a position that it feels comfortable with based on your history of movement. So the biggest thing that will fix your, or realign, I should say, your fascia so that it's in more alignment with our design and will serve us better, is to strengthen and move in the areas that it accustomed to moving in alignment. So a lot of that is the ground movement stuff. A lot of that is, you know, fundamental patterns that we as humans are meant to practice, natural movements that align our body with its design rather than aligning our body with the modern environment of often being slouched over or often using a lot of muscles on our front that pull our fascia forward and having tight shoulders and all these different things. Ways to relax the fascia are through heat. So heat is a big one. Parasympathetic activation, which I've talked about before. So making sure that you're breathing deeply before each movement session, making sure that heat is a great one, so like having a hot bath or a sauna as well before movement or after movement and just allowing your fascia to relax more. And diet is also a massive one. Sunlight, sun exposure is a massive one, and I talk about more of that stuff in health coaching or that realm of my coaching or teaching. So just considering fascia, mobility, and range of motion, and then muscle adaptation, they're all different timelines. You have to be patient with the kind of mobility and fascial one, and they're not necessarily direct. Do it once or like, you know, force yourself into a position and then your mobility is fixed. It's over time, slowly moving into positions, and then your body becomes comfortable with them. You shouldn't be uncomfortable in a deep squat, but there might be a process of adaptation where for a while you do feel uncomfortable with some of the movements, and it's a progressive loading concept, and it's a your body adapting to that imposed demand. And it's the same with the fascia. You can't just like think to yourself, well, I'm just gonna stand taller, or I'm gonna push my hips forward, or whatever, because the fascia is extremely smart and it wants you to. It's adapted to the environment that you've been moving through, and the more you can understand that, or the movement patterns that you've been moving with as well, and the more you can understand that and just fix those movement patterns, then it'll return to an alignment that's more in cohesion with and in accordance with your design as a human being. So that's all I wanted to kind of touch on today. Thank you all for tuning into this live. My apologies for missing yesterday's live. I was quite busy and didn't get around to it, but I've done it here today. And I'll catch you on the next live coming out on Saturday, and also the videos that I'll be uploading throughout the week. Thank you all so much for watching. All right, thank you all so much for listening in. I hope you got value out of today's show. And if you did, if you could take a screenshot of this episode or just share the podcast in general, share it on whatever social media platform that you use and frequent the most. And if you could tag myself and let me know your thoughts and your key takeaways from this podcast, it really, really helps with getting the message out to more and more people as this podcast grows. And I'd love you to be a part in spreading that message and play a part in that. So again, thank you all so much. All the links to connect with me are going to be down in the show notes. So go down there, check that out. My website's down there, email, Instagram, all the good stuff is down there. Also, I wanted to let you guys know that soon I will potentially be running a retreat or event with ASI, Australian Survival Instructors, in the Newcastle, Sydney area. So for anyone in Australia or in that area who wants to come along to a primitive skills and natural movement event where we're going to be kind of working with both of those areas of ancestral lifestyle and lifestyle practices, primitive skills and natural movement, and blending the two in for a couple of days, an immersive experience out in nature. If you want to let me know by messaging me whether you'd be keen to come along to something like that, that would be great. Just so we understand numbers wise and also whether we're going to go ahead with it. So if you guys are keen on that, then message me. Other than that, have an awesome weekend, and thanks again so much for tuning in to today's episode. I'll catch you on the next episode of Move Wild Podcast coming out on Tuesday.